cameras were all messed up, and we have no drinks. Our working conditions are subpar at best today, and we're tired. But you know what? We did plan out your room, so that's good.
We did. Yeah. Are we no intro here?
No intro. Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast. Real life,
real faith. Real talk.
That was really loud. Real loud. That's good. I like that. I like to see it. I like to see the bars. It does something to me on a spiritual level.
We are tired today, man. What's going on? Why are we so tired?
Oh, we've just been working, man. We've been working hard. I've had a really interesting long kind of ish week. You've had an interesting long week, and we're getting ready to dissect my basement and turn it into your home for a while, and that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think we got a good plan written up, though, and I was looking at prices and stuff, and it's not going to be as bad as I thought. I think it's going to turn out good, man.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's really a good idea.
We got a good plan of brewing.
Yeah, until, you know, the first mild inconvenience happens, and then I'm donezo.
And then you jump through the ceiling like the Hulk. Just abandon your family and your life. You got a new tattoo today, bro. Show the pod. Can you?
Maybe. I don't know. I can't really see the camera.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, you can probably see that.
Zoom in.
Yeah, get our producer to zoom in for us. Wyatt! So... Yeah, I did, because I have a friend who is finishing up his apprenticeship and was doing some free tattoos to get his last little bit of hours in or whatever. And, you know, I'm a giving kind of guy, so I would go get a free tattoo to help my friend.
No, very generous of you.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was fun. It's a fun little... And he's a big wrestling fan. I'm a big wrestling fan. So he wanted to do a wrestling one. I was happy to oblige.
It's a good environment too. Isaac's shop. Anybody in Martinsville wants to get a tattoo. The environment is just awesome. Yeah, yeah, Guardian Angel. Super awesome environment. Talk your ear off about orthodoxy and how Protestants are going to hell.
It's actually a really fun environment. Just good jokes, good hangs.
Yeah, I'm going to get one tomorrow. I hope you come with me, man. That'd be fun.
Yeah, if I can figure it out.
If I can, everybody in the comments, you know what that means.
No, I'm going to. And here's why. Because I have a friend that actually legitimately does that, where he will make plans with me and then cancel and then change plans and cancel. I'm confident he doesn't listen to the podcast, so I'm not worried about this. But this guy, he's a really good friend, but he's been really flaky my entire life with him, my whole friendship with him. And that he'll make plans and then he'll be like, oh, something came up, I can't do it. He used to play D&D with us a lot, and then stuff would happen where he'd go, something came up, my kid has a swim meet today. And I'm like,
that came up.
That just popped up. So funny, hilarious. So he's actually getting ready to give me some Dungeons & Dragons stuff. I'm very excited about that. That's a nice gift. He's getting rid of it, and he's like, you can just have it. That's awesome. That's very fun. But I've been trying to meet with him for several weeks, and it's not just to get the stuff. I want to see my friend. And he's only available on Mondays, and that's fine. We've made plans for this several times. I canceled one because I was supposed to be meeting with somebody, and that didn't end up happening. But that was just one off. But the last time I canceled, I said, he suggested the 25th, which is coming up. It's this coming Monday,
mm-hmm.
which is the day. By the time you've listened to this, it was like last podcast episode came out. Whatever. It's time travel when you're podcasting.
This podcast would be coming out.
Not yet.
On the 25th?
No, the 25th is the next one. We already got some banked, baby. We're good to go.
Banked?
Yeah, banked. Oh. We're going to get more banked when you're here because we're going to be doing podcasts every night.
I'm going to get more banged when I meet up with that robot from the hospital. Anyway, sorry.
So anyway, then I texted him today. I said, hey, what's the plan for Monday? What time? Where? All that stuff. And he said, oh, Camp Monday. That's my son's birthday. And I'm like,
my son's birthday just popped up.
And I'm like, brother, you suggested that day. And I was like, cool, that's fine. The next Monday. Then he's like, oh, that's Labor Day. I was like, all right, well, then the next Monday. And so when the 8th comes and goes and I still haven't met with him, I'm not going to be surprised. It's just, this is what happens. But so all of that to say, that was a really long way to get to this, is you want me to be there tomorrow, I will do my best to absolutely be there. I have to practice. I'm playing a festival this weekend, and I got to practice tomorrow morning. But then I will be there for your tattoo session if
Thanks,
I can.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it out to your festival, too. I think that'd be fun. Chris invited me forever ago to that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big, like, concert guy, you know. I've been to a Cage the Elephant concert once.
Yeah.
Back when I really liked Cage the Elephant, and then I became a Christian and started listening to Christian music. So,
and Christian music can't be a concert because it can't be entertaining because it's for the Lord.
Right, exactly. bro, this is why I don't make plans like too far out, because I'll just legitimately forget about them and then make a different plan on top of it, and then I have to look dumb to somebody.
Yeah.
So like I go week by week, bro.
Yeah, plan. Because you were going to move in here on Saturday.
What?
Yeah, you talked to the guys that are helping you move, and you were like, what about Saturday? And they were like, yeah, we're down. And I was like, well, I won't be home Saturday because I have a festival. And you were like, oh.
You don't have to be here for that, though.
I know. But then you talked about doing it Sunday after church. Is that what you're still doing?
I don't know.
Oh, now we don't know?
I thought that was something you planned with them.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'll talk to him.
Yeah. We should probably text him and find out what's going on.
Yeah, we should, because if I get left stranded, that's going to suck.
No, I thought it was happening Sunday now.
I think so, Sunday. Sunday I'll be moved in here, I think.
Yeah.
But also I have to go back to my old place and, like, clean it up and patch holes and stuff like that, you know. But
use some of that lumber from your porch to build a wall in here?
No, I'm already getting rid of stuff, man. I can't tell you how much crap I'm throwing away now that I'm moving out. Stuff I don't need and don't want.
Is there still anything that you want me to take? I know you were talking about.
I have stuff like hoses and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys could use any of that.
Yeah. My hose was leaking. That was a...
It's a spigot, you chungus. These are
well,
actual
no, but
hoses.
The hose also is bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, I just threw those hoses out, so...
Well, that's fine.
Sorry about that. That's I don't want to, like, bring a bunch of junk over here, but I have a ton of stuff from my last job where, like, we had to set up sprinklers all the time for sod, you know?
Yeah.
So I have tons of sprinklers and hoses and extension cords, like 100-foot extension cords for sump pumps and stuff like that. So I have a bunch of that stuff that I don't necessarily need, but you might want. And I don't know. I just don't want to bring a whole bunch of crap over here and fill your guys' house up with my trash.
Yeah, don't do that.
But mostly it's books and like kitchen stuff that I won't really need, but I might as well bring. And some furniture. It'll be a nice little move. Easy. The weight rack is going to suck.
Oh, yeah. Where are we going to put... we haven't even talked about that.
Well, I'm going to be pumping iron down here while... Ooh, yeah. Inappropriate joke. Yeah. To myself.
I know where you're going with it. But anyway, yeah, where are you going to put that? We got to figure that out. Maybe this side will be the weight room.
I could put it right there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll see.
And also, I don't need it, but it'd be cool for you to have. You think you'd use it?
Yeah, but I don't know where I would put it. Like, I just don't know. I would put it in my basement, but that's...
Also, there's something like more engaging about actually going to the gym. It's kind of hard to discipline yourself when you have it at home.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I could play Battlefield or I could go lift weights.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'd rather play Battlefield.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the gym, it's just like, I could watch Fox on this weird TV that's glitching out, or I could work out.
I could watch rerun episodes of Young Sheldon on every TV.
Are there such things as rerun episodes of Young Sheldon? That movie, it's not even been out long. It's not a movie.
That show is like, it's playing all the time in the gym for some reason.
What?
I think that show's over, right? Like,
I don't know. It wasn't very good. Speaking of shows, this will lead us right into our topic. I've been watching this show called Quantum Leap, and I haven't watched Netflix. What? You know this show?
I know the original one. Are you talking about the remake one?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't know there was an original.
Yeah.
But I'm not like I haven't been a big TV guy for a while now. Probably for like 2 years. And I forgot what it does to you, bro. So like I've been watching this show and it's been really good. It's obviously like worldly a little bit.
He's like, oh no, I'm a doctor today.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 That's what it's about. But in this one, they have like a non-binary guy girl as like the tech person. So it's like obviously a guy but wears makeup and girl clothing,
but
and this puts it all together, has scattered random tattoos all over them. You know?
Okay.
You know how the libs do nowadays?
So, like me?
No, no. It's like small. Like you could tell like somebody's been like around and they get free tattoos with coupons everywhere they go.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like Groupon, Groupon tattoos. You know what I'm saying? Where like six people come in and then one of them get it for free and then you get that one.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, sure.
So there's this chick thing on there and I was like, oh, this is weird, but I can get past this. And there's a whole episode where this guy leaps into the body of a dad of a transgender boy turned girl and is the coach of a basketball team. And it's like all about like this kid who's in like middle school has like all control and is teaching their parents about what it's like to be transgender and how bold and faith or like how like awesome she is for being herself and teaching her parents how to be parents to a transgender kid. And I'm like, I'm watching it and I'm literally like, what the hell am I watching?
And all the while the Quantum Leap guy's like, oh great, now I gotta learn how to teach basketball.
I have to see the original one to get your jokes, bro. But
the guy's like leaping into people's bodies and then he's like, but it's always like something he doesn't know how to do and he's like, oh
yeah, this one it was like the girl was like, well Ben, you love basketball, and it was like weird and he's like the guru on transgender kids all of a sudden, and I'm watching this and I could like I literally could like feel evil seeping into my soul. I know that sounds like crazy, but it was like seriously, like I can see now why there's people in the world, let's say like Christians in the world, who like their identity is being kind and being good and understanding and this and that, because like that show made me like, it was like, well, maybe I need to be like understanding of transgender people and I need to like accept it and just yada yada yada. And I'm like thinking all these thoughts that it's like implanting into my mind. I'm like, whoa, I had to turn it off and like go to the next episode, bro. It was like, do you understand what I'm saying?
You quantum leapt into the next episode.
And don't get me wrong. I don't hate transgender people.
Right.
Or gay people. I just know that those things are not right.
I think what happened, we are not the experts on, I think we need to clarify. We're not experts on this because neither of us have dabbled or dealt with either of those things. But
what do you mean? We've never dabbled or dealt with gay people or transgenders?
That you have never... I don't know. I can't speak for you. Oh, I've never...
Side story.
I've never transitioned.
Side story.
Or any of that stuff.
Back in my day when I was selling weed, there was this one girl...
this is going to be wild. I can
there was this
tell.
One girl, and I was like... I was young and looking for pleasure.
Sure.
And there was this girl I thought I had found... And she was being wild, and I'm not going to go into details, but all the she was saying, she was going to do some things to me, and I'm driving there, right?
Okay.
And she texts me while I'm driving there. She's like, "Hey, I want to let you know I'm a transgender." And I'm like, "Okay, do I pull out now or do I go?" Not like with any intention. There's no sexual intention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure, sure.
But I'm like, it would be messed up if I didn't go. So I go, and I'm like, just so you know, I'm going to smoke this blunt with you, but I'm not down with what you're trying to put down. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And she's like asking me if she can feel my muscles, and I'm fat. And she's asking me if she can feel my muscles, all types of weird stuff. And I'm like, this can't happen. So yeah. I smoked a blunt with a transgender woman once.
So you're probably more experienced than I am. But what I was going to say is that we don't, either one of us, dislike or hate those people or anything like that.
No.
But what you mentioned brings up a good point. There are some people that would say that if you found out that someone is trans and you're unwilling to date them, then that makes you a bigot and that makes you transphobic. But I would just say that you are not attracted to those body parts.
Yeah, and I also don't agree with the thing that they are now another person or identity. I think it's kind of hard to get away. Like, this whole, like, genders are a social construct thing. In a sense, like, gender roles are a
gender
social
roles
construct,
are, for sure, yeah.
But they're not, though, also. Like, gender roles are also, like, biblical and inherent.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like...
But I think there are some that we've culturally, like...
Absolutely.
Infused... and like sometimes
pink and blue.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yes.
Or like boy gifts and girl gifts. But also like if my son wants to dress up as a princess for Halloween, am I okay with that? Because now I'm enabling like an identity or an idea. But anyways.
This podcast is not about what I thought it was going to be about.
I know. But I'm just talking about. So we want to talk about like pop culture today. But yeah. Like I really loved this show. And I'm like. I love as a reach.
You enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the show.
It was a good escape.
Yeah, and I'm like watching it, and that episode like completely destroyed me. I'm like, it brought me back to like early in my faith when I used to watch stuff like that and listen to rap and do all these things and take all these things in that are like subconsciously changing who you are.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like you're letting evil into your.
And there are other things like that with different. And I would argue that Christians do this especially, and I'm guilty of it. And I don't know if you are either, you are too, but where you would not inherently feel as bad about watching a show that had heterosexual sex in it a lot. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, I think I also would.
No, I do. I do too now. But there was, like, I used to, when I was younger, I used to watch, like, I watched all of Game of Thrones. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
And that's like, it, like, just pervasive in the whole thing is all of this.
Or, like, The Witcher. Like, I watched The Witcher. Did you watch that?
And it's got a lot of, like...
A lot of boobies. Witchcraft
and sexual stuff in it. But we're just boobies. Like, whoa, and nudity. And we're like, oh, okay, well, whatever. I would leave that up to everyone's convictions on what you watch. But I don't think any of that's edifying in any way.
Yeah. Suppose if you're not lusting after them,
but still, it's a dangerous.
If you're a man who's looking at boobies on TV and is not lusting, then you're Paul.
It's
or John.
It's a slippery slope. But yeah, so I see what you're getting at is that like,
it literally was changing my mind as I was laying there watching.
But
it.
I think the point I'm trying to make is I think anything can do that. Any kind of like, right. You can become numb to violence if you're watching something that's like extremely violent all the time. You know what I mean? Where you're like, oh, yeah. I'm not really.
Or like, you know, playing GTA.
Or like, I'm ready to get in a fight because I've been watching this show about a dude that gets in a fight. Yeah. Perfect example. When I went through and I binge watched all of Punisher on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big comic book guy and all that.
I love the Punisher.
And I hadn't watched it and I was like, I'm going to just binge watch this whole season. And it's fun to watch, but it made me kind of be like, man, I'd love it if somebody came up. I'd love to punch somebody right now. Yeah. You know, it's like, that's not good.
Nah. And you could see the way like culture is reflected in cinema. Like if you watch The Flash on Netflix, have you seen that?
Yeah.
I love the series. You can see how it progressively gets more like transgender. They're like putting transgender people in there and like making, there's like points behind it. They're pushing a point. Or trying to influence to what they think is acceptable or good.
Yeah.
And I think where it gets dicey is we don't look to that for what's acceptable or good. But if you come home after a long day at work and this is your pleasure or your alone time every night, it's like seeping into you. But there's also good pop culture, I think. And you would know more about that. Like when I watch The Flash or Superman or Fantastic Four or any of those things, there's like this heroism or like salvation or justice.
Yes, so that's kind of, I think that's where we were trying to go with all of this anyway, is that there is inherently an underlying theme in all of like heroics that points to Christ, if you like look that way, some more heavily than others.
Yes.
But for example, Superman was originally created as more like a Moses figure. Like the two guys who created Superman were two young Jewish guys, and they created Superman to be in kind of like a Moses figure. So he's sent in a small spaceship, basket-shaped spaceship, to Earth. To protect him from the harm that's coming to the rest of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's meant to be like, save the world that he's brought into and all of this stuff. There's so much more to it than even that. But then in the 90s, they kind of changed him more. And he didn't have, like, and when Superman first came out, he didn't have, like, incredible superpowers like he does now.
Really?
In the 70s, his superpowers got way out of whack, and he could do, like, anything. And then in the 90s, they made him, like, this indestructible, you know, superheroic, gonna, like, bulletproof, flying, all this stuff. He could do some of that stuff, but in the 70s, he was, like...
Was kryptonite always a thing for him?
That came out in the 70s also. Okay. 60s and 70s, I think. But the whole thing is there was this shift in the 70s to the 90s to make him more like a Christ-like figure. He was, like, more godlike than, like, a Moses figure, you know?
I can see that.
And then there's other characters that are created. Like, so you talked about Fantastic Four also. And in this movie, you see it a lot. And I don't want to spoil it for you since I went without...
The thing is like Peter, right?
Since I went without you.
Hit it, The Rock.
Yeah, because he's right. Yeah, that's pretty good. The Thing is a Jewish character because the guy who created the Fantastic Four, also Jewish. When he was, like, creating Galactus... He turned to the Bible to see, like, all of the wrathful, like, Old Testament stuff of God to, like, basically to be, like, what would, it, like, I, he wanted, like, examples of, like, what, like, cosmic destruction would look like. You know what I mean? And so he creates Galactus as kind of this godlike villain that's, like, not really good or bad. It was, he's kind of just, like, doing, he's, like, nature doing his thing, and people get in the way. Which is very fascinating and interesting. But then in the movie, I don't want to spoil it for you, but there's basically a character that is offered up in place of the entire world to satiate this Galactus. And so there's like this messianic message in that too.
Interesting.
So I think there is a level of that where like, inherently all media points that way, but C.S. Lewis even says that. Like C.S. Lewis talks about how he came to salvation through a series of like just being super interested in mythology.
Yeah. You know?
And people often say like, well, Christianity just stole from this religion and this religion and this religion. Well, no. The God of the Bible is the one who created the universe and around from the beginning. And all of these cultures, when Noah's eight sons come off the ark, they're given that religion but don't necessarily accept it, and then they go and create cultures and base things off of that God,
little remnants
of. and so this is where how we get all of these different things, and they're all tied together. But then mythology and media and all of these things, storytelling, have all done that as well and taken parts of that.
Yeah, it's like a broken mirror of God.
Yeah, and so it starts to seep into culture. Like in the way that you're talking about, like now culture is then doing the reverse, and culture is dictating what's put into media and kind of seeping cultural things into that. So it's an adaptation as
well. And who's like the powerhouse of media? America has been the powerhouse of media
in
Japan, maybe. But like America was like to its roots Christian.
At one point, right?
And now,
although I would argue that just inherently some of the things America did right out the go is not necessarily Christian, but
right. But you know, you think of like Iraq is a Muslim nation, right?
Sure, right.
America was like a Christian nation, and now it's not.
Yeah,
it's not. That's not a valued thing anymore. So that's like portrayed in media. You don't really see a lot of Christian anything in media anymore. But I was listening to this interesting, I think it was a YouTube short yesterday. It was from a movie. Oh, no, it was a debate. And this guy, they were all arguing about, like, you know, I think if we could show people the attributes of God, the goodness of God, love, you know, kindness, these things, then it would attract people to Jesus. And this guy was like, that's exactly what the devil wants. The devil wants the attributes without the Christ, right? There is no justice without Christ.
Yeah.
So justice is an appealing thing. But who is just, and who is the fulfillment of justice? Christ. Yeah. So, like with C.S. Lewis, we'll use C.S. Lewis as an example. When you read like The Great Divorce, I think C.S. Lewis does a great job of prefacing like this is not like inherent truth,
right?
Or like accurate, like accurate to the fullness of the truth, but it's like a symbol of the truth.
Yeah.
Like Superman.
Yep.
Like there's this like justice, kindness. Superman's like this, he's like this weebish guy that's like harmless, but also is like, what is it? Wise as a serpent.
Gentle as doves and wise as...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of Superman. He's like a gentle, like corny, nerdy guy.
Yeah.
But like also he portrays justice and like truth, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can't get lost in the attributes. You know what I mean? And I think that's where it gets dicey is I feel like we'll take pop culture and try to justify it. And here's me kind of playing the contrarian thing a little bit, but we'll try to justify it by finding things that look like God to enable us to fantasize over those things or make a fetish out of those things, you know?
There are positive messages throughout all, like when you talk about guys like J.R.R. Tolkien and, mm-hmm. and C.S. Lewis and things like that, where they were Christians writing works of fiction and instilling in Christian morals into those things.
Right.
And that translates over to other aspects of life, too. So, for example, in the 80s and 90s, the church got really into, like, persecuting, I would say. Maybe not persecuting is not the word. But, like, demonizing Dungeons and Dragons as, like, oh, this is cultish and evil and wrong and stuff. But really the guys who created Dungeons and Dragons were wanting to create a Lord of the Rings game. They loved Lord of the Rings so much that they wanted to create a Lord of the Rings game, but like we don't have the rights to that. So we're going to create this other thing, and that's what turned into Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
But Lord of the Rings is by its very nature like written by a Christian with Christian symbolism all throughout it. So each of the different main characters. So have you ever read The Lord of the Rings or seen the movies or anything like that? Okay. So The Lord of the Rings has all of these characters that are like Christ types, or they carry a characteristic of Christ. So there's this one guy who is the rightful king, but he's left and now things are in shambles. And if it, like the last movie is called Return, the last book in the last movie, it's called Return of the King. Like it's pretty straightforward.
On the nose, yeah.
And then he comes back with this, like, you know, redeemed sword and destroys evil and pushes evil back. But also there's this character named Frodo who's carrying a ring that basically is like symbolic of sin. It's
that
like
Schmeagol?
No, that's the other guy. He's the one that's been corrupted by the ring.
Oh, that's that politician we were talking about.
Yeah. So Frodo carries this ring and he has to carry it to this volcano and throw it in to destroy it forever. But he has to be the one to do it. And he like has to give up his life to do it. Like he has to sacrifice everything that he's had and be the ring bearer and carry this thing for everyone else. So he's like the sacrificial side of Christ.
Interesting.
And so then there's this other one who's a wizard and he's the he's Gandalf, and he also kind of has a little bit of a sacrificial bit because he like dies saving everyone and then comes back later and he's more powerful, but
interesting.
But anyway, he's more like the wisdom. He like always is talking in like riddles and things and like
parables
and being wise and teaching the people and all this stuff. So there's like all these aspects. But then there's also, is when you peel away the layers, it gets even deeper. And there are guys that are way more into Lord of the Rings than me, could go on and give you every single little detail of this. But like even Tiffany, so she got a free tattoo also this week. and she got this sword that's broken, and it's a big part of the story. So like this broken sword, way, way back, evil is reigning. This guy has created this ring to rule everyone. His name's Sauron, and he's like this evil, demonic. He's a Satan figure.
Sauron.
Yeah. And he is like super evil, and he's created this ring to control everyone in the world. And he breaks this king's sword, and in this king's last effort with this broken sword, he cuts off the finger that holds the ring. And that's like what defeats the guy initially. But then the evil's coming back, and then the ring has to be destroyed, yada, yada, yada. But they keep this broken sword as a reminder of like the freedom that they've received.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what that broken sword is. But the symbolism in that, and I was talking to Tiffany about this when she's getting it, is like that there is beauty in brokenness, and God can use us even in our brokenness. And that's like this. That's like this whole thing throughout it, because all of these characters, of course, are flawed,
mm-hmm.
but they're able to, like, through that brokenness, they're able to accomplish something for a greater good. And then that sword gets reforged into the sword that the returning king then uses to ward off evil forever. So it's like,
interesting.
Yeah, it's this really beautiful thing of like the story of redemption and brokenness being used for good. And yeah,
redemption. That's a huge thing we see.
And I think that's pervasive in all of storytelling, is like we long for redemption. The best characters in the Narnia books are the ones that are absolutely unbearable when you're introduced to them.
Yeah.
Like, There's two kids that this happens with really well. And the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe is Edmund is the younger brother, and he betrays his family. He's the Judas character in the first Narnia book. But then Aslan dies for him to save him, even though he's the one that brought him there. But then, unlike Judas, Edmund gets a great redemption in the next book, and he's like a really strong character, courageous, bold, does all these things that are like contrary to how he was in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And that redemptive arc makes that character so great. But then there's a character that he's like brings with him, his cousin Eustace, who comes with them to Narnia, and he is awful. He's unbearable. He's the most annoying character in any literature ever. He's whiny. He sucks. He ends up being all greedy and puts on this jewelry that turns him into a dragon. This bracelet that he puts on turns him into a dragon, and he can't turn himself back into a human no matter how hard he tries. And there's this beautiful symbolism in this too, in that like he's trying everything he can to turn back into a dragon and he can't. And so Aslan shows up, the lion, and he says, I can make you a human again,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to hurt. And Aslan then, with his claws, takes off layers of the dragon skin and removes it. And then he washes in this pool, and then he's human again. And it's like this idea of like sometimes sanctification is unpleasant.
Yeah.
And it's this beautiful, beautiful image. And then the next book, Eustace is the greatest character in literature ever. He's like so witty and like just awesome and very courageous, and like one of my favorite characters throughout all of, like, one of my favorite characters in all of literature is Eustace Grubb. And it's because he's like this, he because his redemption is so beautiful, and it comes from this place where he's absolutely almost unreadable as a character. He's like,
yeah.
You're like, dude, I want this kid to be like killed off of this story. And then instead he's redeemed, and it's beautiful, and he becomes this really interesting character in the end of the books.
This is making me think of The Silent Planet.
Yeah, another C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, where like there's this guy who like, was he a scientist? He wasn't a scientist.
Yeah.
No, not the guy that was walked. He walked to the place where the scientists were. What was his profession? He was like walking across the
main
Europe
character?
Or something.
Ransom?
Like that. Yeah,
yeah, he's just a, yeah, he's just a like a traveler.
Yeah, so like, you can assume by the ending he had no knowledge of God, I guess, or not a full knowledge of God. But like, he goes to do this good thing. He goes to like see where this boy is and bring him back to his mom.
Yeah.
And then gets taken away in a spaceship and is brought through like all these trials of these guys trying to kill him or sacrifice him or whatever they were trying to do to him. And he's like spending time with these like creatures he doesn't understand or know.
Yeah.
But then he soon like realizes they're harmless, and God's like doing all these things to like provide for him and sustain for him. At like some point he starts eating, what was it, the grass or the bark or something?
Yeah,
it was like
gum.
And he's like progressively meeting these new characters, and they're all telling him about this guy. What was his name? The Oryasa or something like that.
Yeah.
Was that? I don't know if that was the.
It's a. It starts. Yeah, it starts with an O. It's like a. But go. Keep going. Going.
He's like an angel figure, or like a lord archetype, right? He's like the lord over all. And he like thinks all these evil things about the big creepy guys he sees at first. And then he finally meets this Oryasa guy, and it's like this redemption story where he understands now what Earth was.
Oryasa, yeah.
Oryasa, yeah. Where this like the Earth is like this fallen planet. They call it the Silent Planet. Why do they call it the Silent Planet? I can't remember the reasoning.
Because all of the... They're like guardian spirits of every planet, and all of the planets have one. So
this is real Mormon.
Yeah. So all of the planets have a guardian spirit, which is an angel that watches over them. And it's implied by the end of this book that Satan was the guardian of Earth. And so Earth is the Silent Planet because it no longer communes with the other planets.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like this cool story of this guy like trying to do a good deed, gets sucked into this whole thing, but like all this these evil atrocities he's experiencing like become a good redemptive arc that come with wisdom and knowledge and peace. And I don't know, I need to read the other books in that trilogy, but you know, you talk about movies a lot, but I really like books, man. I think they get books get away with like deeper meaning than movies sometimes, because like what I was saying, you see a movie and you kind of like can start to idolize like superheroes. But like C.S. Lewis, for example, is really on the nose with what he's saying, you know, like The Great Divorce. He's using like human examples. Oh, I have to tell you, this is such a side note. I gave my friend... How can I tell you who it is without saying his name? I gave my friend a copy of The Great Divorce, and he said he got a chapter in before he shut it off or shut it down and got angry because he thinks it was liberal, too liberal. And he told me, if my kids were to bring this, he was like, if I had kids and they were to bring this home to me, I would tell them that they don't have to read it, like from school.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, how can you derive that this is a liberal? How is C.S. Lewis liberal, dude?
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
But I think maybe what he was saying is like, he thinks Christians look at C.S. Lewis like a authority. And I would say personally, I look at him like as an authority, like I would look at like you as an authority or my pastor in Hartsville as an authority, somebody with wisdom. And like C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters even like has this profound symbolic way of showing how Satan is like intervening in our lives and distracting us, but also showing how God is delivering this man who's being tempted from every single step of the way, and Satan has no idea how to counter it.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't take the Screwtape Letters literally. So let's say there's not like a demon and the little demons that this demon is controlling, and there's like this hierarchy of demons. Say that's not true, but like the premise of the book is true. Great Divorce, it's kind of like a purgatory. Yeah. We don't believe in purgatory as Protestants, but like I understand what he's conveying through saying like for an example, a woman that comes to this gray town, she's like, where's my son, she's freaking out where her son is, and this guy is trying to like show her that her son is not everything, the son is everything. He's like trying to point her to this like gracefully, and she's like get away from me, yada yada yada. She's like, I want to see my son, to the point where she was willing to like stay in this complacent place, this gray town where everything sucked, but everything was just normal, it was just okay. And she was willing to stay there for the sake of finding her son. And he like conveys these messages of how like we're okay with complacency, or we're okay with less so that we can have what we want. And by less, I mean not having the glory of God or knowing the glory of God.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody about this today, actually. And this kind of goes back to what we started off talking about, which I was not ready for the conversation about like transgenderism and all that stuff.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is a difficult thing. But I had a conversation with somebody today about this, and what you're talking about
with the IFB
in the part that you're talking about in The Great Divorce, where That comment, that joke really threw me off there. Where she's like idolizing her son so much that she doesn't, like, she's willing to suffer and not go into a greater glory because she's not sure if her son's there and she'd rather have her son than that.
Yeah.
I had that very same conversation with somebody today because we were talking about like the different sins that, like, all of us have some kind of sin in our life. And mm-hmm. So we sound judgmental when we say, like, somebody's sin is like, when we call sin sin, we sound judgmental because we're like, well, don't you have sin in your life? Yes, but I also wish I didn't.
Right, when we talk about, like, gays, yeah, like, yeah, we, like, struggle with,
yeah,
lust.
Yeah, right, exactly.
For women.
Yeah, and so talking about those things, I was thinking about how we do the same thing with we idolize certain things in our lives. And so what I was telling him is, like, if Jesus stood in front of you and you knew it was Jesus, like, mm-hmm. you just know it's Jesus. You know, the Bible says the sheep hear my voice and they know my voice. So if you know it's Jesus and he's standing
in front of you. He's like marking a tav on your head.
Yeah. But if you know Jesus and he's standing in front of you and he said, you have to give up this thing in order to follow me, whatever that thing is, if you say, I don't know if I could do that, then I don't know that you're actually saved.
Right. And that's what CS Lewis is attacking.
Right. And that's where we have to tackle. And that's a really good way to take inventory of your own idols in your life, is start to, like, think about that random scenario. Say, if Christ was in front of me today and he said, would you be willing to let go of this? You have to let go of this to follow me. Because we'll make all kinds of, like, try to rationalize these things and, like, logical arguments in our head, be like, well, I don't think he would ever say that. Well, okay, regardless.
But he did to the young rich ruler.
Right. We don't know what that thing would be. So, like,
Jesus said, I'm free to do whatever I want.
Right. And so if you, like, if there's something where you're like, I wouldn't give that up, then that thing is greater to you than Christ.
Yeah.
And then you're not willing to rely on him for salvation.
And in reading fiction like The Great Divorce, if you were able to zoom out and see the forest instead of the trees, you would see that this guy is, like, forget about the specific examples. That's where people get lost.
Right.
They're like, I don't agree with the specific example. I love my mom so much, of course I want to be with her in heaven. Sure. He's talking about idolization. Like,
yeah.
And it's not about going to heaven. It's about being with Christ, right? So, like, you would rather be with, to be frank, something less than what's greater. Because of what? Because this mom, her identity was in her son and in being a good mom.
Yes.
It wasn't about, like, it's not wrong to love your son.
No.
But her identity was in being a mom. There was another woman who talked about her husband, and she was like, my husband is everything because of me, yada, yada, yada. And she's like, as she tells the story, you can see how her being a wife was her identity, and everything she did, she said, was for her husband, but he portrays it in such a weirdly clear way that it was for her. You could see that what she was doing for this other guy was really for her gratification or glorification. And in losing that, she loses herself. The young rich ruler.
Yeah.
I did all these things for you. Jesus is, like, saying your identity is in your wealth, in your money. Sell everything and follow me. It's not about having wealth or money.
It's not about the money. Yeah.
It's like the symbolic nature is parables, right? So if we can look at, like, Superman in that sense, like, there is no man who's going to come who is bulletproof, and Jesus isn't vulnerable to kryptonite or anything, but there isn't some man that's going to come and, like, fight off evil for us in the way it's portrayed in Superman.
Right.
But there is a man who has came, defeated evil in a way that we, quite frankly, don't understand rationally,
right,
and will come again in a more glorious way than Superman and wipe out evil.
Exactly.
It's not going to be like battle, you know, because, you know, they string it out to, like, keep you engaged. It's going to be like one and done, bro. There is, like, this Superman figure. What is Fyodor Dostoevsky calls it? He calls it, like, the Uberman. And he talks about this, like, perfect figure. Oh my gosh, I should have brought this up earlier. I was reading his book, and he talks about this, like, figure who we all seek after, this man who is, like, brawny and also witty and also, like, perfect and encapsulates what we think a man should be. And he talks about how this figure is unachievable outside of the figure of Christ.
Yeah.
There is no man who can complete everything, who can finish everything other than God. But we all, like, are striving to be that in a weird way. My friend Dennis, he really has been struggling with like this idea of righteousness, and this is a little bit off topic, but like there's like two different ways we talk about righteousness as Christians. We're not righteous in the way we live, but we are righteous by Christ.
Yeah.
So there's like this dichotomy that he's really trying to understand, and he's like, he said to me like, I just want to be righteous. I just want to know how to be righteous. And it's hard to explain to him, like, he has such a burning desire for it. I don't want to say it to him and break his heart, but I feel like I might have to. It's like, you can't be righteous.
Yeah.
But as Christians, we strive for righteousness.
We can wear the righteousness of Christ.
Right. But yeah. We also should be striving to live a righteous life.
Correct.
But it's like, where do you come from with that? So like, there's this like hard understanding of we are to be like David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
But we're not.
But we're not David in that story. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You know, that idea of like how people, a perfect man doesn't exist with all of those attributes but Christ. I think we see that in our daily life, especially when you, me, and Wyatt, none of us have any brawny, but we all have wit.
Speak for yourself, fatty.
But we all have wit, and that doesn't, that's, but that's not, the wit on itself is not alone. So the three of us together still don't make a perfect person because we're all wit, no brawn.
But this is the beauty of the church, though, is like, we all have these different assets and strengths that make up the body of the Christ, the body of the Christ in a way. Like we make up the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Where it's like we on our own can't be that man that fulfills all, but we can be tidbits.
Yeah.
And we could be that person for this person, and this person can be that person for this person. You know what I mean? It's like we have different alignments, but Jesus is Jesus for everybody.
Yeah.
Transgender, gay, porn addicted, don't mow your lawn, whoever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's good. That's really good. I really hope that when you move in here, I don't accidentally see your tidbits.
They're not tid, buddy.
Anyway.
They're big bits.
I had to bring down the heaviness with some with some humor. See, this is what I'm talking about. This wit. It's too much. Got me in trouble with the IRS.
You don't need any bronze, man.
Do I need to talk about that? I don't know. I've already talked. I've already repented of it. Maybe I don't need to talk about it.
You haven't even told me what really happened. Hit us with that.
So, my being a pastor, pay is complicated. And so, the government doesn't understand it because, I guess, separation of church and state. I don't know. They don't know how to tax me they know how to tax me. They don't know how, like, filed my taxes myself this time. And last year, I went through one of the bigger companies like H&R Block or something. I don't know. And that helped because it's backed and they've got a tax expert doing it. Well, I did it online and I filed it and I thought that was all good, but they're confused about something. And so they keep sending me this letter that's saying we need 60 more days to review. We need 60 more days to review. They've been doing this now for 180 days, I think.
Yikes.
So a long time. And I just want my tax refund. So I called. And over the course of the whole phone call, it was like 3.5 hours.
Yikes.
And so that already frustrated me. This does not justify. Please don't think I'm trying to justify the things that I said because they were mean. But I also try to justify them by them being funny, and that also is not right. But they were hilarious. So like this lady was just would not. She's like, I can't tell you how to fix this. And I'm like, they just keep sending us letters, and she's like, it's a waiting game. And I was like, well, if it's a game, lady, I don't lose. So, and she didn't like that. And apparently it was my tone, I heard. But anyway, I said, I need to talk to somebody else. And she said, nobody's going to be able to help you. This is not something that we can do anything about. You're just going to have to wait. And I said, wrong answer. That does not compute. And I was like, so I need you to transfer me to somebody else. And she's like, I can't transfer you to anybody else. Nobody else is going to help you. I'm like, I don't think you're understanding. I said, you're probably in an office, right? So there's probably somebody in the desk next to you. I'd rather talk to them. Just hand them the phone. And I said, or if you're working from home, then hand it to your husband or your girlfriend, whatever, I'm not judging, whoever, give the phone to somebody else. And she goes, sir, your tone is very threatening. And I was like, words can't hurt you, but if you feel threatened so much that you need to send federal agents to my house, make sure they have my tax check in their pocket. And she was like, that is threatening, sir. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And I said, don't you hang up on me. Transfer me to somebody else.
She hung up on you?
No, she transferred. She didn't transfer me. And the other lady helped me really a lot. She was very helpful. And I said, thank you. And I said, now listen. She was like, I don't understand. We don't have a record of your, we don't have a record of how your income. We're that's what's missing. Mm-hmm. We need that. I said, thank you for telling me. I can get you that. I said, however, it's very confusing. And I said, this next part is going to be really awkward for me to say because of the way I talked to the last lady. And you probably have recordings of it. And I said, but I'm a pastor. And she like laughed. And she was like, I was like, so this is why it's confusing. But I was like, but it's really not, it can't be that confusing because I was like, I owed the state taxes and they had no problem finding my income. Like they were ready and willing and able to take it. But I said, but now the federal government owes me money and you guys can't figure it out. I need you to figure it out. She's like, okay, well, here's what you send. We'll fix it.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you for being helpful. And really it was like, it was a combination of things. It doesn't justify it. I was wrong in the way that I talked to this lady, but I was tired from the day. I had been on hold for hours. And then also she was rude to me. And then I was like, okay, well, for some reason, I feel like that justifies, and it's not, it's wrong, but it allows me to return evil for evil, which is what Jesus tells us not to do.
Leo Tolstoy no longer dwells in you. But,
but like when people get rude with me, then I have a hard time being kinder to people. And
you have gotten pretty explosive on people over the phone. What was the last guy? Remember this last guy?
I don't remember.
Was it the Pakistan-India thing?
I probably had I was probably in a fugue state and had forgotten. I kind of turned into the Hulk, and I just don't remember what happened. I just wake up on the floor in my underwear with my phone on speaker.
Gamma rays are stained into the ceiling.
But it can be really difficult for me because I have a hard time. It was the Western Union thing. I just really get frustrated when people tell me that they can't do something that it's their job to do, and that it throws me into a confusion of rage.
Didn't Donald Trump hire like 90,000 IRS agents?
I know. I think he fired a bunch, and I think that might be what's causing a little bit of the problem. That might be why she had no one to transfer me to.
I still haven't got my check back, but unlike you, I just kind of let it go.
What? You haven't got yours either?
No. So they tried to mail it to my house, but you had to sign off on it.
Oh, yes.
So they would come between like working hours, and eventually they left a note on my door.
That you got to go to the post office.
They left just a final notice, and they left it 2 weeks after I was supposed to be able to pick it up from the post office.
Oh.
So it's like, you guys just shot me in the foot. Like, yeah. I went to go get it, and they're like, you have to call the IRS. And I'm like, they can have it. It was like $200.
I just remembered the meanest thing I said, but it was also the best joke.
What was it?
I said,
this is horrible.
You ready? I said, Jesus says that we should render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but I'm about to render unto you a piece of my mind.
You said that to her?
I did. It is really bad.
You got some nuts, bro. Saying like, how do you even think of that? And you couldn't have been that mad.
If you thought I was pretty mad. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, how about you render onto Warner what is Warner's?
That would have been a better line. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this already ain't Caesar's. I done gave Caesar his money, pulled it out of the mouth of a fish. So you got what you need. Now give me what I need. But yeah, whatever. God's just teaching me patience and trying to teach me to not get so angry. But the problem is that I justify it with humor. I think, oh, if it's funny, it's okay if it's mean. And that's not true.
Definitely not, especially when you have to tell them, like, yeah, I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
Sorry, I told that lady to go back to her country or whatever.
I didn't say that. I just told her to hand the phone to her boyfriend or whatever.
You're like, this is a Christian nation.
I did say if they wanted to hand the phone to... the Secretary of Treasury, or I was like, you can even hand it to Trump himself. I don't care. I'll talk to whoever.
You're like, I'll talk to ChatGPT if she's going to help me more than you. Yo, that old lady, some old lady at your family camp was talking about how she talks to ChatGPT. Oh, it was, I won't say her name, but she said, she's like, yeah, I call her a she now. She's just like a she. And I'm like, this is freaky.
Yeah, that's weird.
Getting weird. Whoever is listening still, you got to check out our video on Facebook of the AI robot we found in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a girl for sure.
I think so. It had girly eyebrows.
It was.
Why did it have to have a face on it?
It was eyeballing you, dude.
It was like, I know.
She was into you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're burning with passion.
Yeah.
That'd be weird if you just found me in the janitor's closet.
One of these days we're going to talk about robots and AI and intimacy and what that... But
we
I don't know.
A, we had a private conversation about this.
I don't know if we're ready for that. I don't know if we're ready for...
Yeah, let's wait till they actually come out.
Yeah, the internet's not ready for that.
They are out. You know, one time... Never mind.
Anyway... What about, okay, ooh, here's a topic for another time, because we're way over. It's time to shut it down. So we talked about transgenderism today, even though we're probably not the experts in that field. However, there's going to be, what about when people start to become cyborgs because they identify as robots?
I wouldn't mind having...
That's going to be wild.
I wouldn't mind having some cyborg parts.
Yeah?
Some extensions.
Hair extensions. I could go for that.
You really could go for that. What does cyborg hair look like?
Wires? I just have wires hanging out of my head.
You just have like Ethernet cords plugged into your head? You're like the Predator.
It's like cornrows of just of wiring. I'd look sick,
is
dude.
Is that cultural appropriation? Junker appropriation?
Oh well.
That's
I don't think you're allowed to say junker on the
As
internet.
I'm wearing a do-rag.
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to say junker on
I
the
thought internet. It was clinker.
Clinker.
Clank appropriation.
Yeah. You can't say that. Anyway.
Yeah, this is edgy. This is not God's truth.
No, this isn't God's truth. But God's truth won't back down.
And neither should you.
Stay focused, stay aggressive, and stay relentless for God's glory.
Amen. We should really get that down.
I did. I nailed it. I nailed it.